change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello again. This is the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host for this episode, Mickey Desai. I am very happy today to be speaking with Amy Carson. Amy is the CEO of Brand K Partners. How are you, Amy?
I'm great, Mickey. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You staying safe during these COVID days?
Yes, very fortunately I am. I hope all is well with you too.
You know, one day at a time, one step at a time. You know, just like I think everyone else in the world, just trying to figure out how to move my life forward in some positive direction.
Absolutely. That's what I try to tell my children on a daily basis.
Yes, exactly. So Amy, we're going to talk about, you do accounting and finance work, yes?
Exactly. I do.
And so let's talk about that and talk about, you know, nonprofit finance and how nonprofits can best manage their finances in response to pandemic. How do we start that conversation?
Sure. So I think it is, I think it would be helpful maybe for me just to give a little bit of an overview kind of about maybe how we work with our clients, how we view the field of nonprofit finance and accounting. Mm-hmm. And how we work with our clients accordingly.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
Great. So I think the number one thing that we've found and just kind of our target for every nonprofit organization that we work with is the goal is to help our clients achieve financial stability, both kind of in the short term and in the long term. Mm-hmm. And we are able to do that by providing a series of services such as bookkeeping, financial management, financial reporting, budgeting, and forecasting. And my firm, Brand K Partners, we employ a team of seasoned and experienced accounting and financial professionals that are really dedicated to improving the operational efficiencies of small to mid-sized nonprofits. We find that small to mid-sized nonprofits are the types of organizations that really desperately need these services, as they are typically run by social workers and teachers and people without necessarily business backgrounds or financial training. And the goal is to really make a difference and to help our clients, enable our clients to focus more on their mission-driven work, and we can effectively run the back office.
Right.
So that's really how we approach this work.
Okay. So what does a nonprofit need to do? I mean, you know, we're talking about small to medium folks. Or I don't know that I want to discriminate via size, but it may make sense to break things down via size. What does a nonprofit need to do to manage their finances during pandemic? And is it true? I've heard you say that, you know, by cleaning a nonprofit's books, you could fundamentally help save a nonprofit. How do you do that? I mean, how do the books hinge so directly on success versus failure for a nonprofit?
I love that question. I'm actually going to start there. So I fundamentally believe in the power of fiscal transparency and the power of using numbers to make key strategic decisions. Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest a lot of times we are, I would say 90% of the time, we are called in to work with a nonprofit. We are called in by the board treasurer. We are frequently called in by a big donor or by an executive director. And the number one comment is, oh my goodness, I have no idea what's going on. So the first thing that we can do to help our clients is to clean the books. And then once you have clean books, that's wonderful. That's wonderful for a variety of different reasons, but it's great for your donors and for all the key external stakeholders. It's great from an audit perspective, from a tax filing perspective. But then if you're able to take those numbers and really trim it down and come up with five key metrics that every executive director or board treasurer needs to know and understand to drive the organization forward, that's I think where all the power is. And that's where we've really been able to help our clients, particularly during the pandemic, because on a monthly basis, we are sitting down with our clients and we're helping them understand what's going on. And therefore, when COVID hit, we were able to very quickly identify who needs help and who needs what and who needs cash assistance and who needs the PPP funding. And it's simply just a function of having clean, crisp data at our fingertips that we're able to use to drive the organization forward.
Right. The data basically shows the roadmap for whatever else that needs to happen.
Exactly. And also, it's a little more than the data too. It's story. A lot of my job is storytelling. So it's taking, you know, pages of balance sheets or statements of financial position in the nonprofit sector and budget versus actuals reports that can typically be 5 pages long. And it's taking that data and transforming it into one neat, clean executive summary that everybody can understand. I think that's where the real power is. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, sitting on a board of directors, you will have seasoned private equity folks and seasoned CFOs from the private sector. And you'll also have teachers or medical professionals. And so you have a whole variety of different people. And so telling a really clear, concise story that everybody can understand, that to me, quite honestly, is like the best thing that we can do for our clients.
Right. So you're able to adequately paint a picture for everyone at the table, whether or not they have financial knowledge or an academic background.
Exactly. And to be totally blunt, I have an 11-year-old who finds what I do fascinating. So I will frequently sit down and walk him through my pitch before I will meet with a board of directors and say, hey, does this make sense to you? And he's kind of like my sounding board.
Right.
And sometimes he's like, Mom, way over my head. I have no idea what you're saying right now. Or even last night when I was talking to him about what I would say to you. It's like, Mom, slow down. You're making no sense. So it's fun. And I like including... He's my little guy's my sounding board.
So that's brilliant. So what you're saying then is I should get an 11-year-old to try out all my pitches on.
Exactly. And then you can borrow. And then you can borrow my. I have a set of 8-year-old identical twin boys, and they find all of this hilarious. So you could borrow them too.
That's fantastic. But I in all seriousness though, I think this makes perfect sense. If you can explain the nonprofit status to an 11-year-old, and if they can get it, then one would think that everyone at the table should also be able to get it.
That's exactly it. And once everybody gets it, then you can take the conversation to a whole new level. And we actually, quite frankly, probably the most rewarding experience in my entire career is with an organization that we've been working with now for 1.5 years. And they were on the verge of potentially having to merge, and they were in some trouble, and they hired us. And what we were really able to do was put everything together and get it nice, clean, and clear. And then once it was clean and we were able to explain it to people, then they were able to go out and put together an absolutely extraordinary board of directors. And they were able to obtain new funding and renew its current funding. And once everybody understands and has confidence in the underlying finances, you can really take an organization to a whole new level. And that, Mickey, is honestly why I do this and why I find this so exciting and so empowering.
Right. I'm about to ask you if you can share any case studies or examples, but before we go there, one of the items you wrote in your notes to me was that nonprofits should not expect their bookkeepers to be CFOs. And so I wanted to ask please educate me. What's the difference between a bookkeeper and a CFO?
Sure. So, I mean, to be perfectly honest, this was a lesson that we've really learned over the past 8 years since Brand K Partners has been in business. I think fundamentally, a bookkeeper and a bookkeeper's skill set really revolves around data entry and making sure that debits and credits, it's very bare bones, basic accounting. Then kind of a step above that would be maybe like an accounting manager or a controller type. And that person will have a slightly more advanced skill set that would include maybe grant management and analyzing grants and preparing some detailed journal entries. But it's a CFO type person who I would argue very frequently might also be a financial analyst and have a finance degree versus an accounting degree. It's that person that really will have the ability to be a little bit more strategic. And so a CFO really has the education and backgrounds and experience to take the numbers that are provided by the bookkeeper and the controller and help translate them and put together financial reports and notes to financial reports and help with budgeting and all of these slightly more strategic tasks. Right. So there really is a difference. But that being said, we've had great success in training our bookkeepers to effectively through the years become CFOs. And that's that to me is what I find really rewarding. We will hire people right out of college, and we will start them at the bookkeeper level. And the real goal is to turn them into a rock star that can really come in and perform these higher level tasks.
Right. So the CFO is the person who is sort of in charge of making the interpretations based on the data, not just maintaining the data.
Exactly. And presenting the data, because that really is a skill set in and of itself.
Right.
Presenting the data for all of our clients, or the majority of our clients, we're meeting with them on a monthly basis. We're presenting to boards of directors. So having the ability to walk through the finances, it's very hard. And I say this from experience, it's very hard to explain the numbers if you're the one also doing all the nitty gritty grunt work.
Right. Right. Let me ask another stupid question then, is how is a CFO different from a board treasurer?
That's actually a great question. So I would argue that a CFO is typically an internal accounting function, and the board treasurer, their role is really governance and oversight. So our most successful client relationships are where we have a strong partnership with the board treasurer. So I love it when the board treasurers will come and grill us, because then I know that we're really doing what's best for the organization. So their job is to pick apart the numbers and to really be a strategic partner. The board treasurer will effectively review our work. So on a monthly basis, the CFO will provide the financial statements and prepare the financial statements and present them to the board treasurer. The board treasurer will frequently then in turn review, analyze, et cetera, and then present to the board of directors.
Yeah, got it. Cool. So let's go back to the other question I had. Can you share a case study or an example of some of the good work you've done and maybe some of the changes you've seen as a result of your being able to get into the nitty gritty with the nonprofit and their finances?
Sure. So two examples come to mind. The first, I love working with startup organizations. So I find that if we can get in on the ground floor before anybody has done anything, and we are able to build the accounting and bookkeeping infrastructure right from the beginning, that just sets an organization up for success. So we've done this in multiple instances where we will come in, we will set up the accounting system, and we will set things up correctly. We will build the financial policies and procedures. We will do the initial bookkeeping. We will help set the budgets. And it's these organizations, some of my very first clients when Brand K Partners started 8 years ago, where they were, when I started with them 8 years ago, and they were maybe $50,000, $100,000 organizations. Now I have two that are $2 million organizations. I have another that's a little over $1 million. If you can build it and help them build it and maintain it, then it's just, you're really setting clients up for long-term success.
Right. It's amazing.
It's really cool. Sadly, though, we are frequently called in because things are just a mess. And my favorite kind of messy story is we were called in. There was a client, a $2 million organization. The client was tracking, and this was all completely legitimate, by the way. It was just grossly inefficient. The client was tracking their books and records via 18 different bank accounts, 18 different general ledger systems, and therefore they couldn't consolidate financial reports because everything was in a different place. So we came in, we consolidated everything, put everything into one system, and were able to provide very clean, concise financial reports. The organization is almost exclusively government grant funded. And as a result of our work, the organization was then able to kind of to provide the government with the appropriate financial reports and also go and diversify their funding streams a little bit and receive external funding from individuals, donors, and foundations, because they now had everything all in one place. And they were able to create budgets that didn't necessarily need to be repeatedly modified, achieve new board members. So lots of good can come from clean books.
Right. I'm still sort of in shock. 18 different ledgers?
Yep. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
How do you do that? How do you end up with 18?
So it actually makes sense. So each bank account, was tied to a specific bank account and tied to a specific QuickBooks file. Yeah. So the data was all there. They were doing nothing wrong. It was just wildly inefficient. Right. And right. It was impossible to look at the organization in a consolidated view.
Right.
So I think that's it. And so therefore, if you don't understand and can't look at, and we were actually in that situation, we were called in by a funder. And as a result of our work, the funder increased the funding. I see that a lot, Nikki, and that's where I get really excited, yeah. is where we can see our work translate into a real bottom line positive impact for our clients in terms of additional revenue, or even frequently in terms of just we're able to identify where they have like major opportunities for decreasing expenses.
Yeah.
So once again, once you understand, it's just limitless what you can do.
Amazing. Amazing. You reminded me, on a completely unrelated note, I worked with a nonprofit that had 17 different donor tracking spreadsheets.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
It has no direct bearing on, you know, a financial outlook. I mean, you know, not in terms of looking at, you know, P&L or anything like that, but I'm thinking 17 different spreadsheets and nobody knew who was on which spreadsheet. I'm thinking,
exactly.
Yeah, let's fix this. So, Amy, this is really good stuff. And unfortunately we're out of time. If Elizabeth, here's edit number 6,000 for this episode. If a listener wanted to be in touch with you or to learn more about Brand K, how would you suggest they get in touch with you?
Sure. So I think the best place, you should definitely just check out our website at brandkpartners.com, or you can feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn.
Great. Thank you, Amy. This is really good stuff. I hope we can visit again sometime in the future and talk some more about nonprofit finance.
Thanks so much, Mickey.
To our listeners, thank you as always for joining us. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating via whatever mechanism you use to listen to the Snapcast. Your 5-star ratings make us more findable by search engines, and we are grateful to you for helping us grow our audience. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.